Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
What is happening, Rush Nation? Welcome to the Week 10 Matchups Pod. No, don't go adjusting your audio. This is not Murph with a slightly different voice. This is Rich from the Dynasty Pod, covering for Murph this week. So for those of you who don't know, I'm Rich. I host the 5 Yard Dynasty Pod with Liam on a Wednesday. We are basically going to run you through the Week 10 slate of games. But before we get that, just keen to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who are the best in the world's men's below-the-waist grooming. You can get 20% off and free international shipping with the code 5YARD. Also, don't forget, the DFS guys announced it yesterday, but we have got another exciting free roll with the guys over at Fanteam. You can go on, enter for free. I think it's up to 4 entries you can have. There's up to £300 in prizes, with £100 going to the first place. Last night's Thursday night game. What a crazy game. Not what I was expecting, to be honest. I was expecting the Ravens to walk it, but maybe we're seeing kind of the Ravens with the ill effects of essentially playing 5 quarters on Sunday, 4 days rest after playing an overtime game against the Vikings. Was always going to be tough. But credit to the Dolphins. I think they had a fantastic defensive game plan. I think, blitzing Lamar is high risk, high reward. He struggles against the blitz, but he can escape and absolutely tear you apart. But I thought the Dolphins did a fantastic job of getting pressure, blitzing, but keeping me in the pocket. I do think it's a very interesting game. I wonder what happens if Sammy Watkins has a slightly different game. I still can't quite understand what happened on that touchdown, non-touchdown gap, should we say, in the first half. Yeah, to just watch the ball coming in and then just not put any effort in was very strange. And they obviously had the fumble as well. So, that's a 9-point swing potentially just on those 2 plays from him alone. And then I guess the biggest question mark is what the hell was going on with the Dolphins quarterback situation. That was pretty crazy that Tua's not fit enough to start, but then Brissett gets cleared to come back in the game and then they go with Tua still. I'm not quite sure why that happened, what happened, but let's roll on. So we're going to dive into the matchups for this week. So for those of you who don't know, I will be using my rankings, which you can find up on the website or over at Fantasy Pros. Like Murph, I'm entered in the ECR contest. A couple of kind of different things I'll do this week. So I use kind of Vegas betting lines quite heavily within my rankings. So I'll tell you about the over-under and the betting line, because I think, I can try and predict what I think the game's going to be, but let's be honest, Vegas knows a hell of a lot better than I do. And then also something else I'll be using is the adjusted fantasy points allowed metric. So that's basically a first place team means it's a really tough matchup for that given position. And then a 30 seconds means it's a fantastic matchup. So the Sunday slate. So let's start with the Titans and Saints. So it's an over-under of 44.5 with the Titans 2.5 points favourite. It's a very interesting game because I think that it's a must-win for the Saints, obviously coming off that tough loss to the Falcons if they're wanting to stay in playoff contention. And I think the Titans, they're being talked about as the power of the AFC. Can they maintain it and stay at the top? It'll be really interesting. I think potentially Saints could see a little bit more Taysom Hill, but I'm very much looking forward to watching this game. So QB perspective, so Ryan Tannehill I've got as QB 15 on the week. I think he's a solid QB 2. In 1 QB leagues, I'm probably trying to get away from him. But in Superflex leagues, you're probably going to end up starting him. The Saints guys, they're fairly low ranks because I just don't know. I think Trevor Siemian's going to start, but I do think we see more Taysom. I think we see certainly a couple of packages of play. So I've got Trevor Siemian at QB 26 and Taysom Hill at QB 29. From a running back perspective, I guess the big question mark is what's going on with Alvin Kamara. Certainly rumours last night were that he might not play. I think if that happens, it would obviously be a huge loss. Currently, I've got him penciled in as the RB6. I think if he's playing, you've got to start him. You can't get away from that. I've got Mark Ingram as RB33. And I think if Kamara's out, he probably walks in around sort of RB15. I've not properly dived into that, but that'll probably be whereabouts where he ends up. From the Titans side, I think the fact it's a three-headed monster basically takes all three out of kind of starting caliber from a fantasy perspective. I think you've got Jeremy Mickles. For me, he's an RB31, so potential flex play. And then you've got Adrian Peterson's RB34 and Dante Foreman's RB45. So I think if I can, I'm trying to avoid all three. From a wide receiver perspective, I think this is a fantastic matchup for both sets of receivers. So Tennessee's 31st in adjusted fantasy points to wide receiver position, and New Orleans is 30th. So if you can get a receiver in this game, I think it's a great place to start. AJ Brown's, you know, he's a stud, but he's an absolute must start in this format. So he's wide receiver 8 for me on the week. I'm potentially looking at moving that up a little bit, just because of the matchup. So PFF have got him projected with over 50% of his routes against Paulson Adebo. And that's apparently the single biggest discrepancy in terms of wide receiver quarterback matchup. So they see this as the kind of best wide receiver matchup in the week. So I do think, if you know, maybe AJ Brown's look at in those DFS lineups, and obviously you're starting him wherever you can. Julio Jones, so he's wide receiver 34. If he's fit, I quite like him. But, you know, who knows at the moment with Julio whether he's going to be fit. I know there was some talk last night that he pulled up lame at the end of practice. So the Friday practice schedule will be vitally important. The New Orleans guys, look, you can't feel comfortable starting them, but they've got a great matchup and they're both kind of a deep dart touchdown away from a great week. So I've got Marquez Callaway at 43 and I've got Deontay Harris at wide receiver 47. Moving on to, let's say, the worst game of the week. So as a Jets fan, so this is the Bills-Jets. I'm really scared of this one. I think as a Jets fan, I'm petrified that the Bills are going to come and be looking for a big rebound. So I've got, this is a 47.5 point over-under and the Bills are favoured by almost two touchdowns, so at 12.5 points. I won't go through the individual adjusted fantasy points allowed matchups. Just know that the Bills are a tough matchup for every position and the Jets are a cake matchup for every position. Quarterback-wise, let's keep this quick. You're starting Josh Allen. He's QB1 on the week. You're starting him everywhere. You got him. Mike White, he's my QB28. Look, I'm not touching him unless it's pure desperation. Running back-wise, as I said, it's a really tough matchup for the Jets. So I've got Michael Carter at RB25. Yes, he could see some passing volume. Yes, he could see some kind of late game garbage time potential, but hard to feel comfortable starting him. And then Ty Johnson I've got as the RB43. From the Bills perspective, I think this is a really nice, sneaky start. So Devin Singletary, I'm not the biggest fan. Those of you who listen to the Dynasty Pod will know I'm not his biggest believer, but when he's the only guy in the backfield, you kind of got to believe in him. So he's my RB16 on the week. I think that look, the Jets can't cover any running back in terms of passing game out the backfield. And I think he's going to see some decent volume. So I think if you've got Singletary, he's a really nice, solid RB2 this week. Wide receiver-wise, Stephon Diggs, you've got to start. He's my wide receiver 5. I also think Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley are in that sort of wide receiver 2 flex play. So I've got Manny Sanders is wide receiver 25 and I've got Cole Beasley at wide receiver 27. The Jets guys, I just really don't feel comfortable starting them. Yes, I know Elijah Moore's coming off a huge week, but I've got Elijah Moore at wide receiver 45 and Corey Davis at wide receiver 46. Moving on to the next game. So we've got the Steelers and the Lions. So the over-under's relatively low. It's only 42.5, with the Steelers being 8.5 points favourite. Look, this should be another easy win for the Steelers, shouldn't they? You know, they're keeping afloat in the AFC. I think everybody wants to write them off, but they're actually just hanging around despite the corpse of Big Ben at quarterback. I do wonder if this could be another kitchen sink game for the Lions. So we saw them a couple of weeks ago with the onside kick and the fake punt and going for on fourth down. I do wonder if it could be that sort of game for the Lions to try and get that win. So from a fantasy plays perspective, so the quarterback position, look, Big Ben, decent matchup, but he's only my QB17. I do worry that whilst it's a decent matchup, my concern is that the Steelers get ahead and then basically just run the game to kill the clock. Jared Goff, again, look, he's a garbage time play. You're praying for some, you know, Steelers get up and he's having to throw the ball around to try and catch up, but he's my quarterback 25. From a running back perspective, So Detroit is the 31st in adjusted fantasy points allowed, whilst Steelers are the first. So basically, it's an incredible matchup for Najee Harris. He is my RB3. I think that, look, in a game where they're favoured heavily and you're expecting the Steelers to go up, we've seen that they're not worried about giving him usage. I think he's going to be involved to get in the lead. And then I really think he's basically going to be handed the ball and told to kill the clock. On the other side of the ball, you've got DeAndre Swift. Yes, Jamal Williams is out. He should see large volume, but it is an incredibly tough matchup. You've just got to hope that he sees enough passing usage that he could potentially be relevant there. Wide receiver-wise, so Deontay Johnson, I've got wide receiver 9. Look, the guy's a stud. Those of you who listen to me or read anything I write, I absolutely love Deontay Johnson. I think he's incredible. So you're starting him wherever. The interesting one is that I'm not expecting Chase Claypool to play. He's not practiced yet. So I've ranked it as if Chase Claypool isn't playing on Sunday. So for me, that means that James Washington could be in that sneaky flex play potential. He's my wide receiver 36. I think he's a really decent receiver. If he's going to be the wide receiver 2 for the Steelers, I think he's a decent sort of wide receiver 3 flex. The Lions receivers, again, I keep saying it, but you're hoping for a desperation garbage time touchdown. I've got Khalif Raymond at wide receiver 55. I've got Amon-Ra Brown at wide receiver 57. Tight end wise, it's a decent tight end matchup. It's TJ Hawkinson. Look, if he's active, you're starting him. He's tight end 6. He's plug and play, isn't he? And then we've got the rookie, Pat Freiermuth, who's seen a decent amount of volume. And with Claypool out, will probably be that number one kind of big-bodied red zone weapon. So he's actually my tight end 10 on the week. So the next game is the Colts-Jags. So this is a 47.5-point over-under. Interestingly, the Colts are actually favoured by 10.5 points, which is slightly large, should we say, from my perspective. Obviously, the Jags coming off a decent win last week. That being said, I do think that the Colts are going to basically just run all over the Jags and they're not going to be able to stop them. I think we saw last week the Colts finally got that starting five offensive linemen healthy and they're a completely different team. Just basically did what they wanted and Jonathan Taylor and Naeem Hines just had a field day. So I'm pretty much expecting that to be the case again. Quarterback matchup wise, so Indianapolis are actually 31st in adjusted fantasy points allowed. So it's a fantastic matchup for Trevor Lawrence, but he is battling that injury. Can you trust him? I don't know, but he's quarterback 23 for me in the week. So yeah, looking at him potentially in 2QB leagues, but I'm not touching him in a 1QB league. Carson Wentz, no one likes him. No one wants to admit it, but he's actually having a pretty decent season, particularly from a fantasy perspective. My concern is that this game script could kind of get away from him if the Colts are just going to run the ball and kind of kill clock. Might not get the volume to produce it, but I do have him at QB9 on the week. Running back side of things, look, the Colts are great up front. The front seven is very good against the run. It's a tough matchup for James Robinson. He is coming back off that heel injury, but they're expecting him to be 100% in play. So it's tough because, you know, he's getting the volume. You've got to start him, but I've got him at RB21. So I'm potentially looking at other options if I've got James Robinson for that sort of RB2 spot. Jonathan Taylor, I'm all in on. He's my RB1 on the week. I think, look, now this offensive line is healthy, I think it's wheels up for him. Naeem Hines is, you know, whenever the Colts are favoured, it's never an ideal matchup for him because you're expecting him to be in those more pass-heavy game scripts. So I've got him down at RB32, but you know, in that flex play potential. Wide receiver wise, look, I've got Pittman as my wide receiver 6. I'm penciling T.Y. Hilton as not playing. I think if Hilton does play, then I'll probably drop Pittman down a little bit. But yeah, if you've got Pittman, feel confident starting him. And then I've got Zach Pascal as kind of the second receiving option for Indianapolis. He's at wide receiver 44, so he's in that kind of deeper flex conversation. From the Jags perspective, it's hard to feel great about any of them, isn't it? Yes, it's a decent matchup, but there could be some garbage time. But I've got Marvin Jones at wide receiver 32. I've got LaVisca Chenault at wide receiver 48. And I've got Jamal Agnew at wide receiver 54. I do think Jamal Agnew is a little under the radar play here. He's been, you know, he leads the wide receivers over the last 3 weeks in volume in that Jags offense in terms of volume targets. So I do think he could be a sneaky little one. From a tight end perspective, so Indianapolis is actually the worst team in the league in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the tight end position. So could be a nice little play in terms of Dan Arnold. You know, he's coming in, he's being used as that big body wide receiver. We see him used out of the slot quite a lot. So I've actually got him at tight end 14. I think he could enter, you know, you could feel comfortable if you're struggling or streaming a tight end. He's a nice little play there. Colts tight ends, look, Murray Cox, he's tight end 21. He's a touchdown hope, isn't he, at best times. The next game, so we're heading over to the Washington Bucks game. So this has got a really high over-under. So it's actually 51.5 points. Bucks favoured by 8.5 points. So they've got the second highest implied team total on the week. I think it's going to be a high scoring affair. I think the Bucks coming off a bye against, let's be honest, it's a really in Washington D, isn't it? I think it's going to be a bit of a field day for Brady and the Bucks offense. So I've got Tom Brady. He's my QB4 on the week. I think he's a must start everywhere you got him. Taylor Heineke. So because of the high over-under, because of the fact that I think this is going to be a high scoring affair, and also because of the fact that the Bucks are basically an incredible run defense, you know, that front seven, no one even bothers trying to run against them. So I've got Taylor Heineke, he's my QB16. So I think he's a decent QB2 this week. Running back perspective, look, Leonard Fournette, he's been a nice surprise, but he's basically got that backfield to himself. So he's my RB12 on the week. So I feel comfortable starting him. He's going to get some decent usage. The Bucks are going to score. He's going to see some red zone looks. Gio Bernard and Rojo, they're both in the 50 range. So I'm not looking at them. Washington backs, it's really hard, isn't it, because nobody runs the ball against the Bucks unless your name's Khalil Herbert. So I've got Antonio Gibson. He's carrying that shin injury. I just kind of wish that they'd shut him down for 3 weeks and let him get healthy, but they won't, so we've got to keep playing him. But he's an RB20 on the week. And then JD McKissick, he's my RB27. Again, he's in that sort of sneaky flex play. I do think that if Curtis Samuel is out, we're going to see him used outside. I think the fact that he can't really run the ball on the Bucks D, I do think that Jay McKissick could see some decent usage, which is why he's up at my RB27. From a wide receiver perspective, this is great matchups for both guys. So I've got Chris Godwin. He's all the way up at my wide receiver 4. And I've got Mike Evans as my wide receiver 7. I'm expecting Antonio Brown doesn't play. And basically, when he doesn't play, I think Godwin and Evans are both wide receiver 1s. Interestingly, PFF projects Godwin to have over 30 snaps against Landon Collins in the slot. And basically, Landon Collins, you know, can't hold Chris Godwin's jock at the moment. So I think that Godwin could absolutely have his lunch in that matchup. Maybe Tyler Johnson is a slightly deeper flex play if both Gronk and AB don't go. From the Washington side, look, you're starting Terry McLaurin. It's not great. I think he's probably an RB wide receiver 2 this week. I've got him at wide receiver 15. You can't really get away from him, probably what you paid to acquire him in terms of draft capital. But yeah, I think he should be okay. It's a decent over-under, so he should be all right. Tight end-wise, so I'm not expecting, I'm ranking it as if Gronk and Logan Thomas both missed the week. Obviously, Logan Thomas coming off that hamstring injury. He did practice Wednesday, Thursday, but then reported some soreness. And I'm not sure what we're going to see about Gronk. So I've got Ricky Seals-Jones penciled in currently as the tight end 13, just because I think there's not many passing options in this Washington offense. He could catch a touchdown, could get some garbage time. And I've also got OJ Howard as the tight end 20. So again, in those two tight end leagues, in those deeper leagues, he could be worth a punt. The next game, so sticking with the Tom Brady theme, we're going to go with the Pats Browns. So average over under, we're at 45.5 with the Pats favoured by 2.5 points. I think this is probably, it's going to sound slightly ridiculous, but this is probably the game I'm most excited to watch this week. So I think this is two offences that are both built around that prior run game and the play action build off that. We saw the Browns run all over the Bengals last week. We've seen the Pats do it all year. So I'm really intrigued to see, you know, two old school offenses go head to head and how they look, how they come out. Quarterback wise, so New England is actually second in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. So it's a properly tough matchup for Baker. He's my QB22. Mac Jones is my QB20. I don't feel great starting either because I do think that it's going to be about running the ball in this game. I guess the biggest storyline coming into this is who's going to start at running back for either team. So Nick Chubb, Demetric Felton and Kareem Hunt all look like they're going to miss. So it's about fire up all the Dearness Johnson shares you've got. He's my RB 11. I think the Browns want to run the ball. I think he's going to get the usage. We saw it a couple of weeks ago. He can do it. I'm very excited if I've got any shares of him. Definitely firing it up. And then the Pat side is about who's actually going to play. So Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson are both currently still in concussion protocol. I've ranked it as if they do both play. So I've got Damian Harris at RB23, Ramondre Stevenson at RB40, and Brandon Bolden at RB41. If one or either of Harris or Stevenson don't clear concussion protocol, then Brandon Bolden probably gets up into that sort of wide receiver two flex play territory. But it's kind of a wait and see. Particularly on Friday, who's going to practice and where we go forwards. Wide receiver wise, look, Jarvis Landry, he's a solid wide receiver three flex play. He's going to see some volume. He's the number one target in this offense now. Yes, he had a disappointing week last week, but I expect him to kind of bounce back, and I think he's a decent little play here. Donovan Peoples-Jones, we saw that huge touchdown catch last week, and I think that's basically what you're hoping for every week, isn't it? So I've got him at wide receiver 39. Yeah, I don't feel great starting him, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that is one catch makes his week. The Patriots guys, you know, as I said, I think this is going to be about running the ball, so I'm not particularly high on any of them this week. So I've got Jacoby Myers at wide receiver 40. I've got Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver 51. I've got Nelson Aguilar at wide receiver 61. The Browns have got three great corners. I think it's going to be a tough matchup to start any Patriots wide receiver. Tight end-wise, it's tough with the Browns, isn't it? Because I think there could be some potential with Beckham going to start seeing some increased tight end usage, but which one of the three are you going to trust? I've got Njoku at tight end 19, Hooper at tight end 25. Don't particularly fancy a tight end either. It's a pretty tough matchup for Hunter Henry, so I'm probably a little bit lower on him than consensus. So he's at tight end 25, tight end 15 for me this week. Moving on to the game with the highest over-under on the week. So this is the Cowboys-Falcons. The Cowboys favoured by 8.5. So I believe they are the highest implied team total on the weekend. I do think the Cowboys, after being embarrassed last week by the Broncos, are going to bounce back in a big way. And I think this game's going to be an absolute shootout. So yeah, could be exciting to watch. Quarterback-wise, look, Atlanta's defense is terrible across the board, but particularly from a quarterback perspective. So I've got Dak as my QB3. I think he's in for a massive bounce back. Matt Ryan, you know, decent start. He's my QB14. I think just with that high over-under, we're expecting points. Could potentially be some kind of catch-up potential from the Falcons as well. From a running back perspective, basically, again, Atlanta's terrible defense, so this could be a great game to start any piece of the Dallas running game. I've got Zeke at RB10, so starting with confidence. And then I've got Tony Pollard is at RB36. So he's garnering some flex play potential. I do have Mike Davis one spot ahead of him. But I'll be honest, I might drop that down. I'm not sure I feel that confident in Mike Davis, certainly with the way the usage is trending far closer towards Patterson, which brings me on to Patterson. So I've got him as my running back 8 and my wide receiver 8. Look, if you've got him, you're starting him. He's been an absolute revelation. I think the Falcons have finally worked out how to use him. It's taken the NFL 8 years, but you're starting him. On the wide receiver side, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, their plug-and-play start should bounce back. They're in that sort of wide receiver 2 range. Michael Gallup, I'm hoping he's back this week. I think if he doesn't come back this week, that's him done for the year. So I'm very much expecting him to play. He's in the sort of wide receiver 42 range. From a Falcons perspective, look, wide receiver-wise, I've got Russell Gage at 43, Tajay Sharpe at 66, and Olamide Zaccheaus at 67. Now, I'm convinced one of these guys is going to have a fantasy-relevant game. I wouldn't be shocked if one of these ends up in that sort of wide receiver 2 range. If you could tell me who it would be, I'd feel much happier. And I think that's the problem, is I think one of them is going to have a good game, but I have no idea who it is. Nice little tight end matchup as well. So Kyle Pitts, he's my tight end 5. I just think that he's going to get the volume. My concern is that Dallas could try and take him out of the game, and we see a lot of kind of shadowing, safety over the top, that kind of thing. But I hope that he's going to see enough volume to be relevant. And then Dalton Schultz, he's at tight end 8 for me. So I'm hopeful that he can keep up his great year. Obviously, Blake Jarwin's now on IR for a couple of weeks. So we should see Dalton Schultz in that sort of 80 to 90% snap rate. Next game, we're heading over to the Cardinals and the Panthers. Certainly looked a lot better on paper at the beginning of last week than it did this week. So I think we're probably going to see the PJ Walker versus Colt McCoy game. I see no reasons why the Cardinals are going to rush Kyler back. You know, they've got the lead in the NFC. They've got the bye week coming up. I think let's just play it easy. Let's let him get healthy and come back after that. Yeah, maybe we see a little bit of Cam Newton after he signed, but I think it's probably going to be a slightly game to avoid. So I've got Colt McCoy as QB19. I just think that the Cards are going to win the game, and I think he's got some decent weapons to try and share the ball to. And then I've got PJ Walker as QB27. So yeah, not particularly fancying that start there. From a running back perspective, so Carolina is actually third in adjusted fantasy points allowed, which means it's whilst everybody's talking about James Conner and we're seeing that hype go completely out of control, I do think it's perhaps cooled the Jets a little bit. I've got him as the RB9, just purely based on volume. I think he's going to get, you know, probably 15 to 20 carries. I think he's going to get some receiving usage. And I think he's going to get that red zone opportunity. So he's probably a fringe RB1 this week. CMC, it's not great to love the matchup. It's not great with the fact that PJ Walker's at QB, but if you've got CMC, you can't not start him. So he's my RB5 on the week. And then you've got the backup guys, Eno Benjamin, Chuba Hubbard. They're both in the sort of running back 50 range for me. Wide receiver wise, I'm expecting us. We don't see DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's going to be held out the same as Kyler Murray. So I've got Christian Kirk as the best option in that Arizona offense. So he's at wide receiver 24. We've got AJ Green coming back off the COVID list. So he's at wide receiver 38. And then Rondale Moore, look, he's got the opportunity to take any touch to the house. He's potentially out injured. He's wide receiver 50. Don't feel particularly great about starting him. From the Panthers' perspective, Robbie Anderson is basically done, isn't he? He's wide receiver 65, which seems slightly ridiculous from where he was at the beginning of the season. And then DJ Moore, he's down all the way at wide receiver 22 for me. So I'm hoping that he can get enough volume to rescue his day, but it's hard to feel comfortable with PJ Walker in that quarterback and the matchup. From a tight end perspective, Zach Ertz, I think, is a back-end tight end one. So he's around tight end 11 for me. He's been decent since he got traded, but hard to particularly love what he's doing in that matchup. And I think it's going to be a fairly low-scoring affair. Another high over-under in our next game. So this is the Chargers versus the Vikings. So it's at 53.5 with the Chargers 2.5 points favourite. It feels like a must-win for both teams, doesn't it, this? I think the Vikings, they're at 3-5 and they're sort of starting to fall away from that playoff contention. So I think they really need to win this. Otherwise, I think they are pretty much done. And the Chargers, in what's turned out to be a very competitive AFC West with all those teams of 5 wins, it feels like if they don't win, they're going to start dropping down that pecking order and fall behind the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Broncos. So from a quarterback play, look, Justin Herbert's a plug-and-play starter. You don't need to question that. He's at QB7. The Chargers are third in adjusted fantasy points allowed. So it means that Kirk Cousins has got a tough matchup. But for me, the fact it's 53.5 point over-under, there's going to be points. There's going to be high-scoring affair. So I've got Kirk Cousins at QB11. So we saw that back end QB1. Running back, look, you've got two studs. You've got to start them. Dalvin Cook's my RB2. Austin Eckler's my RB4. I don't really fancy anyone else in this game from a running back perspective. I think, look, we've seen the headlines about Dalvin Cook. I'm not going to get into it now. But if he's active, you're playing him. If he, for some reason, gets pulled, then I think Alexander Mattison's a top 10 option. But if Dalvin Cook's playing, I'm not touching Mattison or whatever backup it is in the Chargers backfield, whether it be Josh Kelly or Justin Jackson or maybe CNC Larry Roundtree. From a wide receiver perspective, I think Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are both kind of solid wide receiver twos. Obviously, Keenan Allen's been on a decent little run and we've seen Mike Williams kind of disappear after that incredible start. But I think, look, you start both with confidence as wide receiver twos. The Chargers, they're actually the first in adjusted fantasy points allowed. So, again, really tough matchup for Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson here. The same as you'd expect with Kirk Cousins, as discussed earlier. So, Justin Jefferson, he's more wide receiver 12. Adam Thielen's more receiver 19. You can't really not start them, but just maybe look at avoiding them from a perhaps DFS perspective. KJ Obson's the only other wide receiver. He's in that sort of, I think he's wide receiver 59 for me. So that you're only looking at him if you're super duper desperate. Tight end perspective, don't really particularly like either. I've got both as kind of that touchdown dependent type. Conklin's at tight end 17 and Jared Cook's at tight end 18. Moving into late window games. So we've got the Packers versus the Seahawks. Hopefully both quarterbacks coming back. So we've got a reasonable over-under at 49.5 with the Packers favoured by 3.5 points. So hopefully we get to see Russ versus Rodgers. I know Rodgers can clear the COVID list on Saturday. So hopefully that's all done and we'll get to see him and not have to watch Jordan Love again. I think, look, say what you want about Aaron Rodgers. He's a complete idiot for what he's done, but he does like play well when he's pissed off. So I do think that we could see an incredible Aaron Rodgers performance in that sort of FU mode. I think we're also entering potentially must-win territory for the Seahawks. Yes, they're getting Russ back, but they're still in with a playoff shout, but it's getting thinner and they are very much in that must-win territory. So I've got Aaron Rodgers, he's my QB5. Russell Wilson's my QB10. Look, starting both of these guys. From a running back perspective, this is an incredible matchup for Aaron Jones. Also potentially AJ Dillon. So Seattle's 30th in adjusted fantasy points allowed. So yeah, plug and play Aaron Jones. He's my RB7 on the week. And then AJ Dillon, he's in that flex place. He's RB28. So could potentially look at starting two backs in that backfield. From a Seattle perspective, so Alex Collins is the only guy I'm expecting to play, really. I think Chris Carson, whilst he's been activating and practicing again, I don't think he's going to play. So I've got Alex Collins as my RB20. If it is Chris Carson does go, I think Chris Carson will settle in around that sort of RB15 range. But as I said, I'm expecting Alex Collins to be the guy. From a wide receiver perspective, it's like start your studs and no one else, isn't it? So Devontae Adams, my wide receiver 2. DK Metcalf's wide receiver 14. Tyler Lockett's wide receiver 20. So start all three of those. I've got no other wide receiver or tight end in this matchup that's even worth kind of mentioning. All the wide receivers are outside top 65. Gerald Everett's the highest ranked tight end at tight end 23. So, yeah, so not touching any of those guys. The Broncos-Eagles are up next. So Broncos, you know, coming off that incredible win, besting the Cowboys. Are we going to see them make a little playoff push now after trading away Von Miller? And what about the Eagles? You know, last few weeks, we've seen them completely change that offensive game plan where they've just been pounding the rock. Are we going to see them continue that again? So it will be an interesting one to note. Quarterbacks, look, it's a really tough matchup for Jalen Hurts. So Denver are 5th in adjusted fantasy points allowed to the quarterback position. And it's a mile high, but then he gets that rushing volume. So I've got him settled in at sort of QB12, I think. If you've got him, you're probably starting him, but I don't think it's going to be an incredible game. And then you've got Teddy Two Gloves. So he's my kind of QB18. So he's in that solid, you know, super flex QB2 starter range. From a running back perspective, look, hopefully the Eagles will keep running the ball, but who knows, really? It's hard to really, I wanted to get Jordan Howard and Boston Scott kind of a little bit higher than they are, but I just can't do it. So I've got Jordan Howard at RB39, Boston Scott at RB44. I quite like both, but I just couldn't move them any higher, unfortunately. And then the Broncos, I would love to see one back in this offense, because I think that they'd be an absolute stud for fantasy. I think if it was one back in this backfield that was going to get 70-80% of the work, I'd probably have them ranked in my top 10, maybe even top 5. But because it's a true split, I've got them at RB22 and RB24 respectively. So I think, look, solid RB2s, but it's hard to feel great just because it's a properly 50-50 split. And it seems crazy that literally every week you look at their opportunity share on a Monday and it is almost an exact 50-50 split. So wide receiver perspective. So Philly are fantastic in terms of really tough matchup for the wide receivers. So they're the second in adjusted fantasy points allowed. So yeah, perhaps if you can look at getting away from Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and maybe even Jerry Jeudy. I've got Jeudy wide receiver 30, Courtland Sutton wide receiver 31, Tim Patrick wide receiver 53. Look, I'm lower than consensus on all of them. I think they're tough to trust this week, but you know, they could easily each see the volume and see a ball, you know, a touchdown and they fly up the boards. Eagles wise, is Devonta Smith the only option? Could he see increasing volume? We've seen him have a couple of decent weeks, but they're really limited in terms of their passing game. Number of pass attempts across the last 2 weeks. So he's at wide receiver 27 for me. Quez Watkins is that touchdown hope. He's at wide receiver 57, but don't feel particularly comfortable starting him. From a tight end perspective, so it's an awful matchup for Dallas Goedert and the Eagles. So Denver are second in adjusted fantasy points allowed, whilst the Eagles can't cover any tight ends. So it's a fantastic matchup for Fan, but is he fully fit? He's obviously just been on the COVID list. You've got Albert O lurking around as well. So don't feel great about Fan, despite the fact that he's a really good matchup. So he's my tight end 12. And then Dallas Goedert, look, I said it's an awful matchup, but his target volume numbers over the last 3 weeks have been absolutely insane. He's averaging over 30% target share. If you've got Dallas Goedert, you've got to start him. Yes, it's a really tough matchup, but I've got him as my tight end 9. I think he's a decent plug and play start there. So then getting into the island window games. So we've got the Sunday night football. We've got Raiders Chiefs. So reasonable over under 51.5 with the Chiefs 2.5 points favourites. A little bit surprised to see the Chiefs favoured over the Raiders. I know, you know, the Raiders have had the best of them over the last couple of years, and obviously the Chiefs aren't exactly firing. So could be an interesting one. Do we see the Chiefs finally kind of bounce back? I'm a long held, you know, I've been saying over the past month or so that I really believe this Chiefs offense is going to get it back. I'm starting to feel like I'm alone in that, and I'm starting to feel like maybe I'm just, you know, sticking my head in the sand and not believing that Mahomes is not the Mahomes of the last few years. But I wonder if Mahomes is carrying an injury or something like that. But I do think this Chiefs offense at some point is going to kind of snap back into gear. So fantasy plays, as mentioned, is like if you've got Patrick Mahomes, you're starting him. He's my QB8. It's the lowest I think I've ever ranked him in the last 3 years. He could get right at any point, and he could put up, you know, 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. You can't get away from starting him. Derek Carr's QB13. Look, he's been a really solid, reliable quarterback over the last 2 years from a fantasy perspective. And if you've got him, start him. He is, you know, high in QB2, low in QB1. I think he's a great play this week. Running back wise, so while CH is back practicing, I'm not expecting him to play this week. So I've got Darrell Williams remains in that solid RB2 range. I've got Josh Jacobs. He's not sexy, but the volume he gets, he's in that kind of volume-based RB2 as well. So he's at RB15. And then Kenyon Drake, since John Green's left, he's actually started carving out a nice little role. So he's at RB26 for me on the week. Wide receiver-wise, look, Vegas are really good in terms of not allowing high point scoring to wide receivers. But look, if you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got to start him. Okay, I've contemplated moving him down slightly, but he's still at wide receiver 3 for me on the week. Outside of that, maybe Mecole Hardman, but he's in the sort of wide receiver 50-60 range. From a Vegas standpoint, it's hard to love any of the guys. I think Hunter Renfro's kind of that safety blanket, got a decent kind of floor in that wide receiver 3 flex play. I've got him at wide receiver 29 on the week. And the tight end side, well, this, what can you say? It's the big tight end matchup, isn't it? It's Kelce versus Waller. Shockingly, you're starting both. I've got Kelce as my tight end 1 and Waller as my tight end 2. But if you've got them, you start them. Don't even think about it. And then Monday Night Football. So we have got the young offensive minds. We have got Shanahan versus McVay. It's reasonable over under at 48.5 with the Rams 3.5 points favoured. I think this is a big bounce back game for the Rams after what we saw last week. And I do wonder if we could see this is the kind of point at which pressure starts to get lumped on Kyle Shanahan. We see in these kind of standalone island games where everybody's eyes are on it. I do wonder if the Rams win and win comfortably, we're going to start to see calls for Trey Lance. We're going to start to see some questions raised about just how much of a genius is Kyle Shanahan and whether we start to see kind of a change in how they approach things, turn to Trey Lance and see if you can get this offense firing again. So QB side, so look, Matt Stafford, if you've got him, you're starting him. San Francisco's a pretty poor in terms of adjusted fantasy points allowed. They're 29th. So Stafford is a QB6 for me on the week. Jimmy G, he's a low-end QB2. He's at QB21. I think Trey Lance, I wonder if we see some, you know, first week of the season, we saw some Trey Lance package plays in the red zone. So yeah, he's at QB30 for me. Running back-wise, it's just volume-based RB2s, isn't it? It's not great matchups. It's not incredible guys, but Darrell Henderson and Elijah Mitchell, they're both doing it for you. So I've got Henderson at 14 and Mitchell at 19. You don't feel great about it, but just plug play. Don't look at it and don't think about anything. The rest of it, I've got, look, Sony Michel's at RB48 and I've got all three of the kind of San Francisco guys in the 50 to 60 range. Don't feel comfortable about any of them. They are pure desperation plays. I do wonder if we've got Jeff Wilson now, second week back. Now, Jeff Wilson is an incredible red zone back. We've seen it over the last few years that Shanahan likes to go to him there. So I do worry, as a guy that's got quite a lot of Elijah Mitchell shares, whether we could see Jeff Wilson start to eat into the red zone usage of Elijah Mitchell. Wide receiver wise, we've got of course, you're starting Cooper Kupp. I do think that Robert Woods is also a solid wide receiver 2 at wide receiver 21. Van Jefferson is an interesting flex play at wide receiver 39. I'm not expecting Odell Beckham to play this week. On the San Francisco side, it will be interesting to see who Ramsey matches up with. Will he just stay in the slot or will he follow potentially Debo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk? I've got Debo Samuel at wide receiver 17 for me. I've got Brandon Ayuk, looks like he's potentially getting out of the doghouse at wide receiver 3. So he's at wide receiver 36 for me. From a tight end perspective, I've got George Kittle is back. So he's tight end 3 for me on the week. He's a plug-and-play starter. Tyler Higbee, I don't feel particularly great about. He's my tight end 16 on the week. And that is it, guys. So thank you very much. Best of luck this week. If you've not, remember to check out the fan team, the FS lineup. Go and get your entry on there. And we will speak to you again next week.